I don't have any relationships to disclose. I'm going to talk to you about the Center for Training and Research Translation and the process that we use to review practice-based interventions for dissemination. First, I'm going to talk to you about the center, then I'm going to talk to you about our overall approach to practice-based evidence, and then I'm going to talk to you about our review criteria and process with those interventions. The Center for Training and Research Translation, or Center TRT for short, has been funded by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity since 2004, with the mission of translating and disseminating evidence and providing training in the area of obesity prevention with a focus on interventions at the level of policy and environment. Our primary audience has been public health practitioners in CDC-funded obesity prevention programs. We've also provided training to practitioners in the Putting Prevention into Practice initiatives. Our primary venue for dissemination and training is the internet, and this is a picture of our homepage, and I invite all of you to visit the Center TRT website. In 2010, we had over 12,000 unique visitors who downloaded over 11,000 documents and registered for over 1,000 online trainings. So now to move to talking about our general orientation towards practice-based evidence. In the last few years, numerous organizations have disseminated best practice recommendations for obesity prevention that focus on policy and the environment, and these are just five of those lists of recommendations. The challenge for public health practitioners is that there's an overwhelming amount of information being provided to them. And a second challenge is that these recommendations, there's the evidence in support of their effectiveness at reducing obesity is limited. And the third is they have these recommendations, which are broad recommendations and provide them little of the information that they would need to actually use those recommendations in practice. So how does the Center TRT address this overall challenge? Addressing bullet number two first, we take the position of the 2008 IOM Committee on Childhood Obesity, that practitioners cannot wait for the best possible evidence. They need to act on the best available evidence. And we view those recommendations for best practice, a number of those constitute the best available evidence. So we take those recommendations and we go out to practice and look for people that are using those best recommendations in practice. And in fact, I wanted to mention that we have taken some of the work that Nicola's group has done and looked at their evaluability assessments as one way of identifying practice-based projects that are employing those best practice recommendations. We then take those interventions from practice that look promising. We put them through a review process that I'm going to talk to you about shortly, and we package them. And we package them with the information that practitioners need to actually try those best practice recommendations. So let me give you an example of a best practice, a practice-based intervention that we are currently disseminating on our website. And so this was developed by North Carolina Prevention Partners, and they've worked with multiple hospitals to change their cafeterias so that they provide more healthful food, so that they label and display that food prominently, and also so that they change their pricing and charge less for healthier food and more for less healthy food. And they've evaluated this in an evaluation that's fairly typical of practice-based interventions. In one hospital in a pre-post, it was a large hospital, a pre-post evaluation, and found a change in purchasing behavior. Another notable fact about this intervention is that it does employ two recommendations from best practice recommendations, which are pricing incentives to encourage sale of healthier and discourage sale of less healthy foods, and point of purchase labeling. So then we took this intervention, put it through the review process, which I'll talk about in a minute, and we packaged it into a template. And we packaged all of our interventions into a standard template that we developed through extensive formative work with our practice audience to make sure that we were providing them with the information that they need to for practice in a format that's usable to them. And so these are some of the components of our template. I will point out in particular, we provide them information about resources required, which is something they really value. We provide step by step, you do this, you do this, you do this. And this is just, we provide what North Carolina Prevention Partners in this case did. They can adapt these steps, but this is an example of what one group of practitioners did to roll this intervention out into practice. The evidence review summary is the summary from our expert review. And then another thing that we provide is we provide links from the template to online materials such as protocols, promotional materials, educational materials, and evaluation tools. Those links may be either to our website or to the developer, intervention developer's website. So this is the process we use for reviewing. When we identify an intervention in practice that looks promising, we staff at Center TRT work with the intervention developers to develop a package of materials that then is given to two members of our expert review panel, and those two members use a tool that we've developed that walks through a series of questions and evaluates the intervention, and if it passes that evaluation process, we then package it into a template and disseminate it. So we use four criteria to evaluate interventions. The first criteria is reviewed by center staff. The other three are reviewed by our members of our expert panel. So the first criteria is, does the intervention address a relevant outcome? And so Center TRT is interested in interventions that address behavior, environment, and policy. At this point, we're primarily looking for environment and policy interventions related to these four changes in behavior: dietary intake, physical activity, reduced screen time, and increased breastfeeding. The second review criteria is potential public health impact, and we review that using Russ Glasgow's REAIM framework, which essentially, probably most of you are very familiar with it, but makes the case that effectiveness is not sufficient. An intervention also has to have broad reach, particularly to populations at greatest risk, and it also has to be adopted, implemented, and maintained in practice. So the intervention that I was just talking to you about that was developed by North Carolina Prevention Partners scored very well on this particular evaluation criteria because it has, in fact, been adopted and implemented by hospitals all across North Carolina. It's now being adopted and implemented in South Carolina and other states. The third review criteria is readiness for dissemination. And this is simply, is the intervention described sufficiently that someone else could replicate or adapt it for use in practice? And are the materials that were used to put the intervention into practice available and of usable quality? We would also like to have the developers agree to take phone calls, which they often will. The fourth criteria that we apply is evidence in support of the effectiveness of the intervention. And so here we're looking at, first and foremost, does the intervention apply a best practice recommendation? We then look at the methods used in practice to evaluate the intervention and the findings from that evaluation. And then we also look for whether or not there's a clear, valid underlying theory and or logic to the intervention. So those are the four criteria we use to evaluate interventions. So after the two expert reviewers use our tool, go through these questions, they get together and decide whether the intervention would add value to practice. And if it would add value, then our staff go back to the intervention developers to collect more information and to package the intervention into a template for dissemination. So our approach, this is a quotation from the Institute of Medicine's Bridging the Evidence Gap in Obesity Prevention We believe that our approach takes advantage of emerging and ongoing interventions as sources of practice-based evidence to fill the gaps in the best available evidence. And another point from that same IOM report is that because it has particular value for practice, these interventions, because they were developed in practice, they have inherent relevance to practitioners working in similar practice settings.